Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Executive Vice President.
Hey, Roberto.
How are you, Marta? Today's special guest is Jessica Romero. Jessica is not only SCRC's community educator and has been with SCRC for the past 4 years, but she is also a very dedicated family caregiver. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Roberto. I'm happy to be here today.
So we are thrilled to have you join us here today as we want to talk about long distance caregiving. You know, in our country, there's 53 million family caregivers. In our state, there's 5.5 million family caregivers. And San Diego is home to over 420,000 family caregivers. And we all know that as baby boomer populations continue to get older, the need for family caregivers is going to increase. So when we talk about caregiving, you know, who are the caregivers? What does a caregiver look like? And I guess the short answer is like us. Usually people think of the caregiver as the principal caregiver, the one that's doing all the lifting and the cleaning and the help with the bathing and the food preparation. But really, caregiving is a very, very broad category. And you could be a caregiver who calls in and provides emotional support. You can be the caregiver that does finances. You're still a caregiver. You don't have to be the one that's there physically in the home. So when we think about caregiving, we often think about the person in the home, but you know, according to the National Alliance of Caregiving, 15% of all family caregivers live 1 hour or more away from the care recipient, the person that they're providing care for. In San Diego County, that's about 63,000 people live in our county, and they live an hour or more away from their family member. That can play a big role in how you provide care or support to your family. So, Marta, I don't know if you, you wanted to elaborate a little bit on some of the challenges and being a caregiver.
Absolutely, Roberto, and I'm so glad that we're here talking with Jessica, because I know she brings a lot of personal anecdotes and personal experience from her situation as a caregiver. But, you know, in listening to some of the statistics and in doing a little bit more of a background research on caregivers, especially long-distance caregivers, we know that the vast majority, you know, about 71%, according to a nationwide survey, want to live at home and want to be remain at home as they age, which means that there will be family caregivers who are going to have to step in to assist in this caregiving role. A lot of us have found ourselves in this situation, right? As our parents age, as our relatives age, we kind of step in and we start doing little things here and there. And what I think it's really important in today's conversation is to really address the issue of long distance caregiving, and specifically as it relates to COVID, because, you know, you mentioned people living about an hour and a half away, but a lot of us are living 10 minutes away from our relatives right now, but we cannot visit because of COVID. We have to be socially distant. We don't want to compromise the health of our loved ones, but we want to take care of them. So how do we do that in this age of COVID? And that's why I wanted to have Jessica give us more of her insight in how she is managing her caregiving situation.
Thank you, Marta. So this is actually a really interesting topic and conversation, because I am part of those statistics. My grandma does live 1 hour and a half away from me. Even though I am south of the border, she lives in Tijuana. And so it is a full commute to try to get myself out there whenever she needs me. So she's elderly, she has a heart condition, and she lives on her own. So during times of COVID, things have been a little bit more challenging, especially when the pandemic started. She was diagnosed and all the complications started happening. So it was a little challenging to kind of come up with a plan or find ways to how to really help help her through the process and through this journey, right? So we went from just granddaughter's daughter, son, to, okay, we're going to figure this out. Now I am a caregiver. I happen to work at SCRC as a community educator and have the tools at the tip of my fingers. But, you know, it was complicated at the beginning. It was stressful not trying to understand how to set up the platform for my grandma to get the help that she needed. A lot of challenges have arisen, and we've just kind of played along with it and find solutions to address how we can best help her. But a lot of times it was hard, you know, it was hard to, she has a doctor's appointment, but I work full time and I am a stepmother. And so there's like multiple roles I'm playing. So who's going to go take her to the doctor, you know? So there's this, it's a lot of things at one for the long distance caregiver.
Jessica, I heard, and thank you so much for sharing that with our audience, because I'm hearing the struggle in your story, in your experience. And I from a lot of the caregivers that we talk to on a regular basis, this is a major struggle. I mean, caregiving is already difficult as it is. It's challenging because, you know, you're multitasking, you're the sandwich generation, working from home, you have children, but now you add COVID. And I'm hearing from caregivers who are so scared, so concerned about even visiting to check in on their loved ones because they don't want to infect them with this deadly virus. I don't know if you can speak to that, Jessica, what you have gone through in terms of, you know, this experience with COVID and trying to take care of your grandmother.
As you were saying, I am part of sandwich generation. So we did have to get creative with the tools available with technology to kind of make sure that we were checking in on her on a daily basis. And whenever she needed us, she knew what to do to contact one of us. So we showed her how to use video conference calls. We showed her how to do ways of communicating with each other so that she had everything that she needed. And we wanted to make sure that she wasn't feeling alone. None of us wanted to go visit her. Up to this date, we're still not visiting her. If she needs groceries, if she needs medication, if she needs anything, we'll just leave it outside the door and then just drive away. We are still trying not to compromise her health, obviously. So for that, we are just being consistent and making sure one of us video calls with her on a daily basis. We cook with her. We get creative with her. You know, just providing that extra support. But on the caregiving side and with the other every other roles and responsibilities we have going on, obviously organizing our days as caregivers is very important. It's just a matter of learning as we go through this journey.
You know, I do know how important it is for families to organize, to get together, to communicate with each other what's happening. And oftentimes that doesn't happen. You know, people just, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then they do it. And then they get resentful because somebody else didn't do it. Or as they say, stepped up and help when you know, you assume that they would step up and help. But that's actually a really important piece, is to get the family together. And one of the tips or recommendations has always been to communicate regularly and stay in touch with each other. And now, you know, Zoom, conference calling, different mediums that we have, even just phones, telephones, conference calling people in on a line is really important to continue to maintain that connection, as well as to communicate updates on challenges or things that are coming up. It's really important to use that nowadays because we can't all go there and visit, you know, hey, let's go visit grandma once a month, or let's go visit mom, you know, on that Sunday, because everybody's really concerned about compromising their health, as you said.
I wanted to see if we can ask Jessica, since she's here, and I know just having talked to her different times throughout this year, that sometimes as caregivers, you know, there's of course the physical limitations, but there's also that emotional aspect of caregiving that can really bog us down. And we've been through a lot this year. I think all of us at different levels, on a personal level, but also on a professional level, have gone through a lot. And so I know that as a family caregiver, sometimes you try to do everything And, you know, multitasking is one of the things that we talk about, but sometimes that is not possible. How do you, as a caregiver, Jessica, who's caring for your grandmother, you know, at a distance, how do you manage your emotions, your emotional state, as well as hers? Because, you know, you talked about earlier making sure that you connect with her so she doesn't feel alone. But there comes a time where you can just be sitting there thinking, I really wish I could be there engaging with you more than just an hour a day.
That's actually something very close to the heart, that comment that you're bringing, because her birthday just happened at the end of the year last year, considering holidays and all this, right? She spent the holidays by herself at home, obviously, but then her birthday came around. And it was just one of those things that we all wanted to be there. So, because it happens every year, right? Every year we throw this big celebration to celebrate her birthday. She is the big grandma of the house, right? It's everybody's mom is the grandma in the Latino community. And so this year, it didn't happen. This year we couldn't celebrate her the way we wish we could have. And that just added a little bit more of that emotional drain, that just anxiety, and just it hurt, you know. It hurt that we couldn't just spend that time with her. And as caregivers, we want to do everything we possibly can to help them in a daily basis, and having her an hour and away plus COVID, it just made it a little bit harder. A way that I've actually coped with that and just taking a moment to just sit down and be like, okay, you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do right now. This is for her own health. This is for her own well-being. Just, you know, relax, talk to her, watch a movie together. Now she knows how to do Zoom because we went through the process of educating her on how to use Zoom. So now we have movie That's nights great. Together.
That's wonderful. That's well, so great to hear.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and I am sure that she is so thankful when you all get together on Zoom and she can see the faces. It's not just a phone call anymore. You can actually see somebody in a video and say hello and check in and see how things are going. What else, Jessica and Martha, what else can caregivers do from afar? I mean, what are some of the things that people can help with when they're not living in the home with an individual?
I think, and Jessica, of course, you can jump in here, but I really think is even though right now we're doing things a little differently, obviously through Zoom or computers or phones, still engaging in the favorite pastimes of those individuals. So, for example, you talked about cooking together. How wonderful that is, that if that's something that she likes to do and you also like to do, and yes, maybe it's not ideal where you're standing right next to each other, but still engaging in an activity that you both can do together. That's really nice and that's really valuable. You're doing something that you both enjoy. So for anybody that's listening out there, you know, really think about what works for you and your families. Maybe it is watching a movie together. That's another option, right? If you teach others the tools and how to use them, that can be something that works.
It's important to know that the best way for you to be a long distance caregiver or any caregiver is to first take care of yourself. That way you'll become creative. I like cooking. I didn't know I like cooking, which is why I started going for grandma for the old recipes that she won't share, not even to my mother. You know, it's something fun. It's something that we both enjoyed. And occasionally my sisters will jump into the call. And so now it's the three granddaughters cooking together or the cousins cooking together. So it's actually become an experience for all of us, a different way of bonding and making sure that even though my grandma is away, she's an hour and a half away from us, she's still close to us and still feels connected, and we still get to enjoy quality time together.
I think that emotional support, I think for each other, and especially if there's a primary caregiver in the home, providing that emotional support to that primary caregiver or to each other as family members is really important. I know sometimes, as you were mentioning, we're doing something to help somebody and that feels good because we know we're making a difference. And in a short period of time, that's, you know, it's okay. But after a long period of time, after a few years go by, especially when somebody's declining in health or having cognitive memory problems and so forth, the toll on the caregiver, especially the one that's there most of the time, is extremely, extremely challenging. And I know that getting emotional support from others, if you have family members or friends that you can rely on and you can just call and talk about the situation with no judgment, just listen to you, that's really important. I don't know, Martha, you've shared some of those stories in the past when you were caring for your great aunt.
Absolutely. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. How would I have done it during this time, during this pandemic? Because obviously, when I was a caregiver, it was pre-pandemic. But I was thinking about that situation and how would I have done this? Now, because things were becoming so challenging for me to have to go in and check in into, to go to her house, check in on her, and then make sure that she had everything, and then go to work, and then do it again the next day. We just moved her in into my home so that I could take care of her. And I know that right now, a lot of caregivers had decided early on to even start socially isolating together so that if that became more of a long-term situation, then at least they were with these family members. Now, of course, it's a little bit difficult to do now that we're in full-on, pandemic, but that is still something that caregivers could perhaps think about doing, maybe quarantining for the recommended number of days, and then maybe integrating the families so that you are now able to live together for the meantime. I know that I've heard that from a couple of people who are doing that in order to stay together.
Thank you, Martha. I think it's really important as caregivers, whether you're there primarily or you're a long distance caregiver, is to work together to develop a good care plan. And the care plan might include some components to it that are restricted because of COVID, because of the pandemic. But developing a care plan is really important. And then designating people to help with the different pieces is really important. I think the other thing that's really important, and we provide so much of it at Southern Caregiver Resource Center, is training. We do a lot of caregiver education, and I think that's really important for people to know that, it doesn't, it never hurts to learn a little bit more. In fact, we have some really great class coming up really soon, a mobility training, and it's something that we do on a regular basis along with a bunch of other topics. The other thing is that, again, staying in communication and, really working together as a family, because it is very challenging. It can get very dysfunctional really quick. So that care plan, that training, and then going to your community resources like Southern Caregiver Resource Center to get started is really, really vital and important to helping you throughout this caregiver journey. Well, this is a great topic, and we could say so much more and have another hour or a segment on this, but that's all the time we actually have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. And I want to thank Martha for co-hosting another important, stimulating discussion, and our guest, Jessica Romero.
Thank you.
And I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. All our programs and services are currently available through secure virtual platforms. Also, if you're a caregiver that resides outside of San Diego and Imperial counties, please visit caregivercalifornia.org to find the Caregiver Resource Center nearest you. No matter where you live in the state, you will find a Caregiver Resource Center that will serve you through caregivercalifornia.org. I want to remind everyone that SCRC is a nonprofit 501c3 charitable organization that relies on grants and the generosity of our donors and businesses in our community. To make a tax-deductible donation, please go to scrc.care and click on the Donate tab. And remember, SCRC is here for you. caring for those who care for others. Thank you.